Comedy and great drama are on the schedule for the newly announced summer season of the Berkshire Theater Group's Colonial Theater in Pittsfield and Fitzpatrick Main Stage and Unicorn Theaters in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Here are some of the highlights. The Music Man, which we just heard music from, Arsenic and Old Waste, Million Dollar Quartet, and a drama by an iconic American playwright, Edward Albee, and a new play by David Auburn. Berkshire Theater Group CEO and Artistic Director Kate McGuire joins us by telephone this morning with a preview of this very exciting summer season. Kate, hugs to you and welcome.
Hi, Joe. I was listening and I thought, wow, they're playing songs from Music Man. How amazing.
Well,
you're so smart.
You know, first of all, Sarah LaDuke's a smart one. But two, by the end of the summer, you know, will you be sick of hearing it?
No. My husband will be sick of hearing me sing the songs.
All right, so let's talk about the season because it's a very exciting one. So let me ask you the question I ask you every year, but it is my duty to ask you of what goes into putting together a perfect season, especially when you are trying to satisfy many masters of both the Fitzpatrick stage, the Unicorn, the Colonial. You've got a lot of different tasks at hand.
One would hope that after 22 years, I would be able to say, well, the many masters all line up through the course of the winter spiritually, and I respond perfectly to each one so that in the summer, all the gods of theater are lining up perfectly. However, Joe.
Yes.
Perfect in the theater is, you know, something that we all aspire to, and when we meet perfection, isn't that great? But perfection happens in so many ways. One night it looks like one thing, another night another thing, and audiences responding. It's a mystery. Did you ever see the movie Shakespeare in Love?
Yes.
One of the characters is standing, I think, backstage and says, it's a mystery. And that's exactly what it is. It's all a mystery.
So let me ask you.
Go ahead.
No, let me ask you about last season then. So when you put on a show like Fiorello, which was just a beautiful show that did so well, when you were getting ready to put it on and added it to the schedule, did you have any idea that the reaction to it would be what it was?
No. I mean, you hope. I hope that it will be. And like you, before I come in the morning, I've read most newspapers, and I'd like to say that I'm reading the art section, which I do look at, but mostly I'm looking at what's going on in the world politically, or, I'm reading the world news, and I'm trying to get a sense of what's the most prescient things on our minds. And so the seasons often respond to what we're thinking about. And so last year, Fiorello seemed kind of perfect for an election year. And it worked. In looking at the time that we're in, I have to say that I had an entire season in my head in October, and I don't even remember what those plays were right now.
You went in a different direction.
I just know that the plays that are on the calendar right now, and mind you, when the season is done, I could think about it all, and you may say to me, well, Kate, that looked like that. And I will say, yes, Joe, it did. I had no idea going into it that that was going to be the general sort of feeling about it all. But if I look at it right now, every single play looks like a play about people trying to land, people trying to make sense of the confusion and the chaos around them.
So,
not when it's picking every single one of them, but now that they're all there, looks a little like that.
So
why do you think?
Right. So and you assume that feeling, obviously, of unrest will continue and people will be in the mood, but it certainly seems that it will be the case.
Yeah, it does. I listen to your radio station every morning. You're certainly driving us to it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, no.
But I also think that, you know, a play like some of these plays they happen to be classics. So at particular times, they feel even more present, and the themes feel like, oh my goodness, this is what we're all facing right now. But The Music Man is beloved, and on some level would work any single year that we put it out there, I think. But the idea of this con man kind of entering this community, and my goodness, the community changes him.
Yes.
There you go.
You're going to be running this for a full month. So
yes.
You have, I assume you have a good feeling that it will work. And not only will it work, but it'll work in a big space.
I think it'll work beautifully in a big space. We've got, we're talking to lots of area high schools about high school kids from the high school bands participating in the show. And I have to admit, when I heard the music that you were just playing, I mean, your heart starts bumping. You just thumping, and you know it.
Yeah.
It's fun. And so I think it's exciting to think of the trombones welcoming everybody to the Colonial stage. Yeah, it's a great, big, great musical.
Million Dollar Quartet, also a musical that will be on the stage at the Unicorn Theater, which is a big musical in a rather small space.
It's big in a certain way in that the music is big. Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins music all on that stage. But it's a small cast, and it's based on this story that they all came together one night and started jamming in this bar.
Yeah.
And the music is just so much fun. James Barry, who's directing that, has been with that show for a long time. And the idea, he said, of doing it in the Unicorn is so – he's putting together a fabulous cast. But the idea of doing it in the Unicorn as opposed to a great big stage, he just thinks that the audience is going to go crazy. I think they are too. It's going to be so much fun.
You're doing Children of a Lesser God – the Fitzpatrick main stage, which is a beautiful show and also a hell of a cast.
It's an incredible cast, beautiful show. I've wanted to do this play for a long time and got a call a few weeks ago from an old friend in New York City who said, are you interested in looking at a production of Children of a Lesser God, to which I said I've been interested in that play forever. And she knew that Joshua Jackson, some audiences know him from Dawson's Creek, some from Fringe, some from The Affair, some from some of the theater work that he's done, but he's interested in doing it. And Kenny Leon, an extraordinary director, was interested in directing it, and that was an immediate yes from me. And today is the day that we're announcing that production, because everything came together. Beautiful actress named Lauren Ridloff is playing Sarah. And we just did a reading of it in New York 2 days ago. It's extraordinary. And what is extraordinary about that play, as I was watching these actors, is to realize that not only is it a beautiful love story, it is a story about — there's three characters that are deaf in the play, and so we enter their world, and we don't only enter this gorgeous world about people running into challenges, but I felt confronted myself in thinking about how do I deal with people with challenges? All, you know, and it's not only about deaf dealing with people that have disabilities, but how do we deal with people that are just plain different than us? It's an extraordinary piece. I'm delighted to announce it and announce it right now with you that we're doing it.
Beautiful, beautiful work. Also, tell us about the Edward Albee production. This is interesting of how this came together because there's a little merging here.
There is a little merging. So Edward Albee wrote Zoo Story. You know, I remember Zoo Story from when I was in college. It's iconic. It was one of his great pieces, one of his first pieces. And it's a one act. So everybody always wanted to do Zoo Story, written in 1959. It was always paired with different pieces. About 10 years ago, Edward decided that he knew what happened to one of the characters before he got to that park bench in Zoo Story. And so he decided to write what would become the first act of At Home at the Zoo. There are two characters, Peter and Joe. And Peter is having a very bad day. And it's just Edward Albee at his best. And the two pieces come together really perfectly.
And Eric Hill, your husband, will be
Eric Hill is directing it. Eric Hill, who audiences know from productions like The Homecoming, you know, they've seen some of the productions that he's directed that many people say are a little off-center, Endgame, Siddhartha. And so, yes, off-center is Eric Hill's specialty, and we'll let him take a crack at one of the iconic off-center plays At Home at the Zoo.
Okay.
With three great actors that have all worked with him before, and so the vocabulary among them, I'm sure, is going to produce extraordinary results.
So, what was the term you used? Off center? Is that what you used?
A little off center.
Yeah,
a little off center.
Now, without being overly personal, being married to the man, do you find that to be the case as well?
I find my life off center constantly, and I have three children that I don't think none of them have ever been center.
Okay, well that's
although
good.
Center stage, but center thinking, veering to the right, veering to the left.
Well, we like how you
makes
think.
Makes life interesting.
That's right. Let's talk. We're talking, by the way, Kate McGuire, who is the artistic director and the CEO at the Berkshire Theater Group, is our guest this morning, telling us about the fantastic season that will be underway this summer as part of the Berkshire Theater Group, which is the Unicorn Theater, the Colonial Theater, and the Fitzpatrick Stage. Let us not forget Arsenic and Old Lace, which I think was one of the first productions I ever saw.
It was?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I played Aunt Martha 100 years ago when I was in college. And it is just one of the funniest plays ever written. Aunt Martha and Aunt Abby live in a house with Uncle Teddy, who thinks he's Teddy Roosevelt. And Aunt Martha and Aunt Abby take in boarders who are generally older men.
Yeah.
And some of the men, they're okay. Some of the men are so sad that they decide to help them to their exit with a little bit of arsenic.
Yeah.
Enter nephew Jonathan, who looks a lot like Boris Karloff, thanks to Dr. Einstein, and their nephew Mortimer, poor Mortimer, who's just married lovely Elaine, and they are definitely normal center. Chaos ensues when the bodies start to get discovered. And I'm not telling too much because it's the chaos around these two lovely, dear old ladies that we all want to watch and participate in. And you know, Teddy Roosevelt running around the set and Jonathan and Dr. Einstein. I mean, it's just absolute chaos and really wonderful. The play was subsequently made into a movie with Cary Grant. It is well loved, and you know, if we think about our world being in a bit of chaos right now, I just thought it was a perfect time to enter the world of arsenic and old lace.
And Greg Edelman directing, who has a long affiliation with you all.
Yes, and wonderful Greg Edelman, who is an extraordinary actor in his own right, musical theater star, if I can use that term, and has been directing with us, directed Constellations beautifully last year for us in The Unicorn. And, you know, when I said, you know, I really think it's time for arsenic and old lace, he said, it's always time for arsenic and old lace. Let's do it. So we will.
Let us then talk about David Auburn's play Lost Lake, which will come later in the season. This will begin in late September and bring us through the fall, through almost the end of October. So tell us a little bit about David Auburn in this particular work.
So Lost Lake is a play that David premiered at the Manhattan Theater Club recently. It's a new play and beautifully written. David Auburn wrote the Pulitzer Prize winning play Proof. And we've been fortunate enough to work with David for a number of years. And it is a play about two people who are really at the end of their tethers and not knowing how to move forward. And these two very different people wind up in a remarkable conversation through the course of the play about how they found themselves in the positions that they are in life and asking each other for advice on how to move forward. It's delicate, it's beautiful, and set in the woods. It's a very similar setting to where we find ourselves here in the Berkshires. I think it's going to be quite stunning, and I'm glad to be presenting it at the Unicorn in the fall.
Two other events that are on the season I just want to talk about because I think it's really interesting of the group you're going after here, which is the high school student cabaret as well as an evening to celebrate high school musicals, which are events that take place in May, one on May 10th, the other one on May 12th. The high school musical celebration you've done before, right? This is the third or fourth time
we have done it before, and the idea of doing this came from our high school students. You know, we work with 13,000 students throughout Berkshire County at this point, and many of our students are in our productions, and many of these students are also participating, obviously, in their school productions. And each spring, all of the high schools in the area are presenting their spring musicals. And one of our students said to us a couple of years ago, it would be so great for us to be able to have a place where we can come together and celebrate what we're doing. And so the idea of Encores was born. Travis Daly, who's the artistic head of our education program, pulls it all together. And what the audiences get to see is about 10 minutes of each high school musical that's presented, and all the high schools in the area are participating. The piece that was added this year was also an idea that came from one of our high school students, and they said, wouldn't it be great for us to have an opportunity just to get out there and sing and do our own cabaret? So we're setting aside the Unicorn for one night for the kids to put on a cabaret. The stages, you know, I constantly say that these stages belong to our community, and the fact that so many of our kids have taken me up on that is really wonderful.
Well,
like,
that
okay,
is.
Kate, we'll take it this night.
Well, they have an outlet. That's a wonderful thing to come together and to
accomplish.
Oh,
they're great to watch and so talented, incredible talent.
So let me ask you, and this may be a difficult question, and I don't mean it to create any trouble, but when you think about your place within this local theater scene, you know, there are some companies, obviously, who who will do, you know, that have a sort of an assigned repertoire. There are other companies that will that are doing only new plays and sort of experimenting. And then you have found this place with what you do as sort of a bit of a mix, but in this season, going with some really well-known things that perhaps haven't been performed for a long time. I'm interested in how you think you sort of fit into that, into the larger playing field of the Berkshire Capital Region theater scene, and how everybody can work together.
That's an interesting, complicated question.
So as I said, I didn't want to get you in trouble.
I don't feel like I'll get into any trouble. I feel like each theater does obviously represent the vision of its artistic director.
Yes.
And so I've been the artistic director of Berkshire Theater Festival. Berkshire Theater Festival, when I say Berkshire Theater Festival, I mean our Stockbridge campus. And Berkshire Theater Festival next year in 2018 will celebrate 90 years of theatrical history.
Amazing.
And so it is amazing. I mean, it's one of the oldest theaters in the country. And so my 22, 23 years pale in comparison to the previous years and the history and all of what BTF represented before I came. And what BTF represented was a place where artists could come and perform free from all of the constrictions that they have in New York or LA, a place where artists can put on their great work, also great American classics. So in most of my seasons, I think probably if I look back in every single one of my seasons, you'll find an American classic, if not a couple of them. So I do tend to make sure that tradition continues. And when the Unicorn Theater was built, it was built with an eye towards presenting challenging, more provocative work. So the main stage always has been a home for the classics. Arsenic and Old Lace and Children of a Lesser God certainly fill that sort of bill, if you will. And Million Dollar Quartet is an opportunity for young and emerging artists to really get out on that stage and show their wares and show off their talent. And Zoo Story, certainly. You know, Edward Albee just passed away this past year, and I can't think of a better way to sort of acknowledge his incredible talent than with a play like Zoo Story, which changed the landscape, as did Edward Albee and all of his work. The Colonial, even though the Colonial was built at the end of the last century, the Colonial is really only 10 years old.
Right.
And so we're still wanting to make sure that the community understands that this theater is here, is a place where they can come in and find entertainment, is a place where truly the youngest audiences can come and perform. And so, you know, Christmas Carol, while there are certainly some professional performers in it, there's a cast surrounding them that are our youngest, and we're working with our youngest, Hannah Casella, who's one of our high schoolers now, has been with us since for the past 10 years. I mean, these kids come with us and they're working with us year after year, and the Colonial really does represent a home for the youngest and for the community, and a place where the community can come and really experience what the arts can do in a community.
Well,
so
I'm going to hold you there because we're out of time, but I think you've certainly talked about what the importance of the work that you do in the community. But I think you would agree with me. I would only argue with you on saying it pales in comparison because it's so important of what you have done and to keep it going.
Yes, to keep it going. Always a challenge, that, Joe.
so no pale in comparison.
If I had my phone number that people could call right now, I'm
yeah.
sure that you do.
Well, we'll make
sure. Please call and buy tickets and make a donation.
You can do that by going to BerkshireTheaterGroup.org for more information about the great work that they do. BerkshireTheaterGroup.org, and there is a great place to click and to see the entire awesome summer schedule. Kate McGuire, we love you. Thank you so much for your time.
I love you too, Joe.
And we'll talk soon when you start bringing actors in.
Thank you, and we're sending our best to Alan and his ankle.
Yes, well, thank you. I'll send you regards as well. Be well. Thank
All
you.
Right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.